Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Samech Tes, and we are at the Mishnah, 8 lines from the bottom of daf Samech Tes Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanesunim Batzaru Vashifya. So we're moving along in Perek HaMechres HaBayis, a rather technical perek that discusses a world where transactions took place in a somewhat inefficient manner. As we've mentioned several times, a good lawyer would have probably resolved a lot of these issues that we're dealing with, stating that Mishnah talked about Meicher es Habayis, Meicher es Ho'ir, a Meicher beis Habad, a Meicher es Hamerchitz. Today's daf is going to talk about somebody that sells a field. And again, like the Meicherim and the Lekeachs of the entire parak, the transaction was transcribed in a very vague way, and the question now is, what is presumed to be included in the sale and what is excluded? Says the Mishnah, if somebody sells a field, all stones that are considered a tzirich, they're needed for the field, are included in the sale of the field. Additionally, if there's a vineyard in the field, and there are reeds in the vineyard, and the reeds are there for the tzirich of the vineyard, they too are included in the sale. Any tfua that's attached to the ground is considered part of the field, it's included in the sale. So the Rashbam says, a chitzas hakonim is a thicket of reeds, like a cluster of reeds. In the event that the area of this is less than a base roiva, which we know is the minimum shear of a field, so the proverbial dalet amis of a bias is a base roiva when it comes to a field. So if the chitzas hakonim is less than a base roiva, it's part of the field, it's going to be included in the sale. The es hashemera she'ina asuya betet. So shemera is a sukkah. Think of the yontif of sukkahs. And these sukkahs, these huts, were used by watchmen, and they would have the schach to protect them from the sun, and they were in the field. The question is that shemera included in the sale, or is it not included in the sale? So the Mishnah says that in the event it's not asuya betit, meaning you don't have tar on the roof, the walls are not properly lined, so then we look at it as something that's a little less permanent, it's bottled to the field, it's going to be included. That's hacharuv she'enei morkab. A carob tree that's not morkab, that hasn't yet been grafted, is going to be included in the sale as well. That's besulas hashikma. If you have a sycamore tree that's a besula, it's a virgin, that too is going to be included in the sale. Now, the Mishnah just mentioned a whole bunch of things that if you sell a field stam, are included in the sale. What these things mean, obviously, if we live back in the day, I think would be rather intuitive. We don't live back in the day, so we're going to have to wait for the Gemara to help us out here a little bit. So all these things are included in the sale. In the event that somebody sells a field stam, he did not include in the sale the stones that are not for the tzarek of the field. So notice, this is the antithesis of what we said in the beginning of the Mishnah. Here we have the konim shebekerim that are litzarkai are included in the sale, but the konim shebekerim that are not litzarkai are not included in the sale. Additionally, any tfua that's tlusha minakarka is not going to be included. So the tfua that's attached to the ground is included, but the tfua that's detached from the ground is not included. Let's say the person wasn't just a meicher sasal desnam, but he wrote in the contract, I'm selling you the field, not just that, v'chol ma shebetoichai. Then arei kula mechure. Then all the things that we just mentioned that are not supposed to be included, the stones that are not litzarka, the konet shebekerim that are not litzarka, and the tfua that's tlushim and akarka, now that it wasn't stamped, but you have this added language, they're going to be included. Benkach, who benkach, says the Mishnah, regardless of whether you added this extra language or you didn't add this extra language, loy machar, what's not going to be included is es chitzas hakonim shehi beis roiva. The chitzas hakonim that's a beis roiva will not be included. So again, The Mishnah had said in the beginning that chitzas hakonim, that's pachas mi beis roiva, is included. The chitzas hakonim shi beis roiva is not included. And even if you add the extra language, it's not going to be included. Additionally, v'leyas hashoy merushi asuya betet, if you have this watchman's hut that's asuya betet, so it's not going to be included. Again, even if you add the extra language, v'leyas hacharev hamurkiv, the carob tree that was grafted, which is not included, the carob tree that was not grafted was included in the sale. But the one that's grafted is not going to be included. And again, even if you add this extra language, v'leyas sadan hashikma, additionally, if you have not a virgin sycamore tree, but a sycamore tree that's already a little bit more developed, what's known as a sadan hashikma, that too is going to be excluded. That will not be part and parcel of this transaction. So again, another technical Mishnah, another Mishnah where it's hard for us to visualize because we live in a completely different world than the Tanaim lived in, stating that if you want to do the recap on the Mishnah was really made up of three different categories. So we're talking about somebody that sold a field and he didn't stipulate, he was not clear, he didn't articulate what's included in the sale and what's not included in the sale. The halacha is that there's a whole group of things that are going to be included. What was the group of things? The avonim shehem litzarka, the konim shebekerim shehem litzarka, the tfua that's mechuberes lakarka, any thicket of reeds that's less than a base roiva, any hut that's not asuya betit, a carob tree that's not grafted, and a sycamore tree that's still a besula. So that grouping is going to be included in the sale, even if you simply were meicher the sadas now. Now, obviously, there's a chiddush in all these things, because otherwise, why would the Mishnah have to say it? You sold the field, so the field is included. All these things, you could have had a havamina. Maybe they're not part and parcel of the field, kamash malon, they're going to be included. Then there was another grouping of things that if you're moicher the sadas stam, they're not going to be included in the sale. If, however, you add language that says, I'm selling you, he, the chol masha betoicha, those things will be included. And what was that? That was a short list. There you had the avonim she'enon litzarka, the konim shebekeren she'enon litzarka, and the tfuah that's tlushim in akarka. So these are like maybe part of the field, but maybe not. So if you meicher the sadas nam, they're not going to be included. But if you add a little bit of language which shows that you're coming to be marba something, then already they're going to be included. And then there are things that you could have thought maybe are part of the field, they're not part of the field. Not if you sell it snam. And even if you add the language that says hi v'chol masha b'toicha, still they're not going to be included. And what is that? Chitzas hakonim, this thicket of reeds that is a base roiva. The shemera, the heart, that's a suya betit, that's a proper house that has no shaykhis to the field. And the chorev hamur, and the sadan hashikma, these trees are very chashev, and because these trees are very chashev, these trees are not going to be included. Incidentally, one thing you do see, the Rashbam speaks this out, so it's kedai to speak out, and that is that stam trees, of course, are included. Even the vineyard is included, right? Because hamoiches hasada, which trees are not included? The sycamore tree, this type, that type, or you have the carob tree. Grafted, not grafted, whatever these things exactly mean. But the point is, it's those types of trees that we're having a conversation, whether they're included or they're not included. But stama tree clearly would be included. Not just that, you see, even the vineyard is included. How do you know that? Because the Mishnah said, Amoicher Sasada, the konim, shebekerim, that are for the tzairich of the vineyard would be included. One second, I sold you a field. I didn't sell you a vineyard. It's not one and the same, says the Rashbam. So you see that even a kerem is included. So really, the trees are included. The tfuah that's mechuber are included. There are certain trees, because they were very choshev, as mentioned in the Mishnah, different stones, different thickets that we're questioning. And those are the three categories of the Mishnah. Either way, the Gemara now is going to go almost word for word and explain our Mishnah. So the Mishnah began and said, "Amoiches hasadeh, macher es ha'avonim shehein litzarka." Says the Gemara, "My avonim shehein litzarka." What's the definition of avonim that are litzarka? Hachet targimu. So in Bavel they used to teach it as follows: Avni da'achba. So the Rashbam says what this means is stones that farmers used to keep in the field to put on top of the tefuah, so the tefuah shouldn't blow away. You don't want a western wind to come, and the next thing you know, you don't have your tefuah. So there were stones that were there, and they would put it on top of the tefuah. Those stones are considered a tzairich for the field, and even though they're metaltlin, they're not attached to the field, afilu hachi, they're included in the sale. Ula Amar, Ula said, avonim hasturois legeder. No, what it means is stones that are going to be used to build a fence to protect the field. And Ula added one very important word. Avonim hasturois legeder. These stones were already piled up and they weren't just piled up. They're sturois. What does sturois mean? Miloshin mesudar, miloshin seder. They're piled up very neatly, very nicely. They're mamish, locked and loaded. They're ready to go. That is the definition of avonim shehem v'tzarka. Says the Gemara, akash anu lavatani Reb Chiya taught a brisa that said, avonim tzvurois together. So Reb Chiya had a brisa that learned avonim shehem v'tzarka, like Ula, but with one nuance, not avonim hasturois legeder, but rather avonim tzvurois legeder. What's the difference? Sturois, we said, is miloshin seder. Tzvurois means they're just piled up in no particular order, meaning even if it's not mesudar, so it's a kasha on Ula, meaning the braisa sounds like a tanya to kavose to Ula, maybe to us, but if you understand the nuance and the grammar between sturois and tzvurois, it's actually a kasha on Ula. So the Gemara tnis sturois. No, Ula could always say it's a braisa. Braisas were not properly edited. It's not a huge deal to change a word in a braisa, and maybe the word tzvurois is not really the proper word. What it's supposed to say is sturois, it's shaloi bediktuk, but enachinami, it would have to be sturois, says Ula. It says the Gemara Vayter. Now, as a background to this next Gemara, the Rashbam says, there's a Gemara later on Dafayin Chesam of Beis, which we saw already earlier in the parak, that brought a shitas Rameir. Rameir holds machar kerem, machar tashmishe kerem. Somebody sells a kerem, not only is the kerem included, but all the tashmishe kerem are included as well. It's assumed that it's not only true for a kerem, it's true for a sada, for a bias. Meaning, Reb Meir has a much more liberal definition of what's included in a sale. The Gemara therefore assumes that our Mishnah is probably the Chachamim, a little ironic, because that Mishnah we know is Reb Meir, but our Mishnah is probably the Chachamim, which then means that according to Reb Meir, who has a more inclusive definition of what's included in a sale, more than what the Mishnah said is included, is going to be included. So the question is, our Mishnah said, Amoichas Asadim, Machas Avanim Shein Letzarcha, V'chulei, V'chulei, what's going to be included according to Reb Meir? So the Gemara says, really, we can go through each one individually, but specifically as it relates to Avanim Shein Letzarcha, that's the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah, depending on whether you hold like the Bnei Bavel who touched it, the stones that were used to keep the Tfuah from blowing away, or if you learn like Ula that touched it as stones that are mesudar, ready to be used to make a fence, that will determine what Reb Meir's sheet is going to be and what exactly the machloik is between Reb Meir and the Chachamim is. Says the Gemara, Hacha Targimu, over here in Bavel they touch. What's Avanim Shein Letzarko? Avni Da'ach, but the stones that are put on top of the Tfuah. The Reb Meir is according to Reb Meir that holds Macha Kerem, Macha Tashmishe Kerem. So you're going to assume that he has a more liberal definition in our Mishnah as well. So what's going to come out is, Afagavtalei Machton. It's going to be true, even if you didn't put those stones on top of the actual tefuah, still they're going to be included. L'Rabbanon, whereas according to the Rabbanon, with the Machton, the only time they're going to be included is if they were actually put on top. But if they weren't put on top yet, they're not going to be included. The Ula, according to Ula, Dama Avonim Asturis Legader, that the Taich of Avonim Sheng Letzarch is Avonim Asturis Legader. So the Rameh, according to Rameh, the Mesach, the Nafak Aftalei Sidron. You don't have to actually have to be Mesadr. As long as you prepared it, even if it's not physically in the field, that in and of itself would be enough. Whereas the Rabbanon, who the Sidron, they would physically have to be in the field, and if they weren't physically in the field, that in and of itself would not be enough. In other words, just to clarify this, Sai according to Reb Meir, Sai according to the Chachamim, Hamoicher Sasada, Mocher Es Avonim Shehem Letzarko. However, in terms of how it's going to manifest itself, Lemaisa, that already is going to be totally in this Machloikis. According to Reb Meir, you're going to need less. According to the Rabbanon, you're going to need more. Okay, what's the less, what's the more? So the Gemara works it out. Sai with the way the Bnei Bavel understood the definition of Avonim Shehem Letzarka, and Sai the way Ula understood the definition of Avonim Shehem Letzarka. That's Hakonim Shebekerem Shehem Letzarka. The Mishnah continued and said that Hamoicher Sasode, Mocher Es Hakonim Shebekerem Shehem Letzarka. So these are reeds that are inside the vineyard that are there Letzarka. So the Gemara says, Konim Maya Vidatai. What would you need reeds for a vineyard? Amri Debe Rabbi Yanai. So in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they said these were konim amichulakim. These were reeds that were smooth. Shemamina tachas akfanim. They were put underneath the gefanim. They were put underneath the gefen. And the purpose of it was that the gefen shouldn't wag down to the ground, so they shouldn't end up being on the floor. Meaning, you want the vines to be suspended in the air. You don't want them literally on the ground. So what they would do is they would have these konim, these stalks, and they would keep them standing. So that's the definition of the konim that are Litzarche. Now, these konim were mechulakim, right? They were smooth. They had to be fashioned for this purpose. But once they're fashioned for this purpose, then already they're considered litzarche. They're included in the sale. And here, too, the Gemara says that really, in terms of understanding the exact application of this halach, it's going to be totally in the machlokes Ramei Rabban. Le Ramei, according to Ramei, that says, macha keren, macha tashmishe keren, de meshafyon, afgat loy mukman. As long as you already smoothed it, you did whatever you need to do to physically make it ready for this, even if you physically didn't use it yet, you didn't erect it yet, that's already going to be enough. The Rabban, the mukman, it has to actually be in the ground, attached, the gefanim are on top of it, it's then and only then that it's going to be included. So again, Saira Meir, Saira Chachamim agree with the halacha that the konim shebekerem shein litzarkoi are going to be included in the sale. How does it play itself out lemaisa? So again, according to Rameir, you need less because of his shita, his liberal definition. He holds machar kerem, machar tashmishe kerem. Zok to Gemara weiter. Vesatfua hamichuberes lekarka. Any tefuah, the Mishnah said, that's mechubal lekarka, is going to be included in the sale. Zok to Gemara, v'afak after matoy lemechzet. This is true, even if it's already time to harvest it. So you're already holding at the point where you're muchanim zuman to do the harvesting, it doesn't matter. If it's mechubar, it's going to be included. V'schitzas hakanim, shebchusa mi beis roiva. If you have a thicket of reeds that's less than a beis roiva, that too is going to be included. V'afak after alimi, says the Gemara. This is true, even if it's very thick and they're very big and strong, so you could have thought that maybe you should view it as an entity for itself, kamash b'lan, it's going to be included, right? What's the difference between the chitzas hakanim that's less than a beis roiva or more than a beis roiva? In one case, it's more chashiv, it's substantial, it's looked at almost as a field unto itself, and therefore it's not included. So you could have thought that if it's less than a base roiva, but if it's alimi, maybe it should be viewed as its separate entity. That's the chiddush. Then that's a shemera she'ena asuya betit. So if you have the watchman's hut that's not finished with it, it's going to be included. This is true even if it's not part of the ground. I mean, you could have thought if it's not part of the ground, it has nothing to do with the field. So why is it included? That's the chiddush. It's the tzayrich of the field, and therefore it's going to be included. That's a charev she'ena. Murkiv ves besulas hashikma. So these two trees are going to be included. So the carob tree only if it wasn't grafted, and the sycamore tree only if it's a besula. So they're included. Zok to Gemara. Again, afagafta limi, and it doesn't matter how big, how strong, how mighty, and how powerful these trees are. If it's not murkiv, if it's a besulas hashikma, it's going to be included in the sale. The Mishnah continued, second category, and said, avalei machar leis avonim she'ena litzarcha. So what's the taich of avonim she'ena litzarcha? Le'er amei zok to Gemara, koin tremei doloi mesaknon. It means doloi mesaknon. What does that mean? Because we said earlier, what is avonim shein litzarka according to Rameir? Even if you're physically not using it yet. But the fact that it's already prepared, that makes it litzarka. Okay, so what's the definition of eina litzarka? Dolei mesakna. The Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, if it's even dolei machta, meaning it's not an, of course dolei mesakna is going to be considered eina litzarka. But even if it's mesakna, but it's dolei machta, because according to Rabbanon, you physically have to be using it in order for it to be considered litzarka. Ulu dam avonim asturis lagad. According to Ulu, that said, what's the taich of avonim she'ena litzarka? It's avonim asturis lagad. Okay, so then this manifests itself a little bit differently. There, Rameir, according to Rameir, dolei mesakna. Again, according to Rameir, you didn't even prepare it to line it up to use it as a gather. Because according to Rameir, once you prepared it, it's Litzayrach. So what's Shaloi Litzayrach if you didn't even prepare? The Rabbanon lois it. According to the Rabbanon, the only time it's considered Litzayrach is if you actually lined it up. Therefore, according to the Rabbanon, if you didn't line it up, that in and of itself is going to be enough that it should not be considered Litzayrach. The Mishnah said in the second category that the konim shebekerem that are not litzarche are also not going to be included. Again, what's the taich of konim shebekerem she'ena litzarche? So it's telling the machlok is Ramei Rabban. The Ramei coined Ramei Dolei Meshafyan. If it's not Meshafyan, if it hasn't been smooth, that's the definition of not litzarech. Because if it's smooth, even if you're not using it yet, it's not in the ground, that's considered litzarech. The Rabbanon loy mukman. According to Rabbanon, the only time it's considered litzarech is if you're physically using it. Thus, if you're not physically using it, that's going to be enough that it shouldn't be considered litzarech. Just one other kinech, I think it's worth mentioning, as it relates to the machlekes Rameir and the Chachamim. It's really a sugya later, but the Gemara is mentioning it here so many times, I think it's kedai to point out, and that is, what we're saying is that ichabsa nafkemina between Rameir and Rabbanon, how you understand avonim shem litzarka, konim shebekerim shem litzarchai, and then avonim she'inon l'tzarchai, and konim shebekerim she'inon l'tzarchai. And Rameir has a more liberal definition, konim have a less liberal definition. Really, if you want to understand it better, the point is, according to the Rabbanon, if you sell a field, only the field is sold. So if it's only the field that's sold, it has to be part of the field. So the Rabbanon say, you have the konim shebekerim, you prepared it. It's very nice you prepared it. If it's not utzpikarka, it's part of the field. If it's not utzpikarka, it's not part of the field. You have avonim that are prepared to be sturois. What do I care? If it's sturois in the field, yeah. You have avonim that were prepared to be used as a stopper, so your wheat shouldn't fly away. Okay, but if you're not using it yet, it's not part of the field. According to the Rabbanon, it has to be part of the heft of the field in order for it to be included in the sale. According to Rameir, machar kerem, machar tashmishe kerem. It doesn't have to be part of the field. It doesn't have to be part of the vineyard. As long as it's an ancillary, as long as it's something that's used, that's enough for it to be tashmishe. So once I prepare it for the field, it's considered tashmishe keren. That's the nakuda. According to the Chachamim, it has to be a chetza of the field. According to Rameir, it just has to be here to service the field. Thus, according to Rameir, if it's prepared for the field, so now I look at it as ancillary to the field, it's going to be included in the sale. According to the Chachamim, it's very nice I prepared it. It actually has to be used, because it's then and only then that we would view it as being part of the field. Either way, the Mishnah said, also in that second category, that if you have tfuah that's tlusha min hakarka, it's not going to be included in the sale. This is true, even if it still needs the ara. So the Rashbam tells us, what does it mean that it needs the ara? So it seems that after the farmers used to harvest, so they would leave all the tfuah in the field, and the reason was, is they wanted it to breathe a little bit. It seems that the reyach of the karka, and they wanted it to dry up. So this was the minhag. They would leave it in the field. So you would have thought that even though it's talush, but being that it's still on the field, because it needs to be there, so maybe that should be enough for it to be considered almost as if it's mechuber, it should be considered part of the field. That's the chiddush. Afagaf, that's richel ara. It's still not going to be included. Either way, the Mishnah then went to the third category. What was unique about the third category? If you sell the field stam, it's not included. And even if you say hivachom asha b'teicha, it's still not going to be included. Benkach u benkach. Right? Those immortal words. Benkach u benkach. Loi machar, loi es chitzas hakonim, shehi beis roiva. Says the Gemara, v'afagaf diktini. This is true, even if this thicket is not so thick. It's rather small. It's ketini. But if it takes up an area of beis roiva, that makes it chashe for itself. It's almost like its own field. It's not going to be included in this. Amrab chibarab, amrab yoichon. Loi chitzas hakonim bovat. When we talk about this chitzas hakonim, that's a beis roiva, that's not included in the field, you have to understand, it's not only Chitzas HaKonim. Chitzas HaKonim is a binyanav. It's just an example. And really, we're meant to take this example, cut it and paste it, apply it to anything that's similar. Okay, so what's similar? El afilo aruga ketana shel besamim. If you would have a small patch of besamim, something that smells very good, v'yesh l'shem b'fnei atzma, and it has its own name, so it has its own zip code, so to speak, we look at it as something that's chashuv, enonim keresima, it's not going to be included. Amar Rapapa said, v'hudu kari levarda deplanya. Rapapa just gave an example. He said, if this aruga ketana were roses, and they were known as Pliny's roses, not just known as roses, which is what they are, but Pliny's roses, then it's considered chashuv, it has a shein b'fnei atzma, and it's not going to be included. So this idea of a thicket of reeds that's a base roiva is not unique to a thicket of reeds, and it's not even unique to a base roiva. It could be an aruga achas kitana, which Rashbam says is even less than a base roiva. And it could be besamim, it could be roses, it could be whatever. Anything that's chashuv and has a shein b'fnei atzma is not included in the sale. V'loyas ha-shemer ha-suya betit. Shemer ha-suya betit, that was also part of the third category of the Mishnah, says the Gemara, v'af agaf t'mechaber bar. This is true even if it's attached to the ground. You would have thought if it's attached to the ground, so it's part of the field. If it's part of the field, it should be included. Once it's asuya betit, we look at it as something that's already separate. Boy, Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Loza had a shayla. Mal benoy shel psachim, the frame of the door of a house, mal, is it included in the sale of a house, or is it not included in the sale of a house? So notice how we're shifting gears here for a minute from a moicheres hasada back to the topic of the beginning of the parak, which is a moicheres habayis. We'll get back to that in a second. But Rabbi Loza had a question related to a moicheres habayis. The mal benoy shel psachim, are they included or not included? So The Gemara says like this, Heicha de mechabri betina. Rabbi Lazar talking, in the event that these malbanois were attached with tina, they were cemented, it's for sure part of the house. It was knocked in with nails. My, do we look at it as part of the house, or do we not look at it as part of the house? So the Gemara says, take. Reb Zeira had a follow-up question. Malbanois shel chalonis. What about the frames around windows, not doors? Ma, what's the halacha? Mi amrina, do we say, lenoi ba'almo? Who Davidi? Do we say that we look at it as lenoi ba'alma? We look at it as there just to make it look nice. It's there for aesthetic purposes. As a result, it's not going to be included. And the way the Rashbam explains is Reb Zeira's ibayah is like a follow-up to Rabbi Elazar. Meaning, you Rabbi Elazar have a tzad that the door frames are included. Yeah, that's because the door frame is there for the structure of the house, not there for aesthetic purposes. You can't live in a house in a functional way if you don't have door frames. But the frame around the window, that's like a molding. That's just dir lenoi ba'alma. So if that's dir lenoi ba'alma, maybe it's not included. I don't know. Even the mechabri, mechabri. If it's attached to the house, attached to the house. Take it. By Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya had a authority by a malbanei shalkari amita ma'u. What about the frame that was on the bottom of the bed? So by the feet of the bed, they used to have a frame. Is that included? Is that not included? So said Rabbi Yirmi, in the event that it's attached to the bed, meaning if you're going to transfer the bed, it's going to come along with it, then for sure it's going to be included. Why? Because it comes along with it. Let's say it's not part and parcel of it. My, what's the halacha? And the Gemara says, as it relates to Rabbi Yirmiya Shaila, this too is going to be a teiko. So we're knee-deep in the middle of a very technical daf, talking about a meicher es hasada. And all of a sudden, the Gemara interrupts the program, literally, to bring us three shailas. Rabbi Elazar Shaila, Rabbi Zeira Shaila, and Rabbi Yirmiya Shaila. What's the halacha if somebody sells a house? The door frame is included, not included. What about the window frames? Rabbi Yirmiya is talking about someone that sells a bed. These frames that were put underneath the bed, are they included or are they not included? And, I mean, these sound like good shailas. Atke dekach, the Chachamim said, we're going to have to wait for Elio Atishbi to resolve these shailas. But why smack in the middle of this? Because we're about to return to our regular program. We're going to talk about sycamore trees in a second. So why would we, in the middle of a thicket of reeds that is a base driver, not a base driver, and sycamore trees, talk about a moichas abayis, a moichas amita. So you know, asks the kasha, the Rashbam asks the kasha. And the Rashbam says, I'm going to tell you why. The thought process of the Gemara was that we mentioned in our Mishnah, a halacha regarding somebody that sells a field, the Shemera, this hut, is it included or is it not included? What does it depend on? Is there tit? Is there like cement? Or is there no tit? There's no cement. Oh, so you have a halacha, where is something included or not included, and it depends on is it cemented or is it not cemented. Oh, mi inyan le inyan, but ois ne inyan, hamaycha es habayis, is the frame included or is it not included? And really, one of the study ashayil is it cemented or is it not cemented? Therefore, because the Gemara was discussing a Mishnah that discussed this nuance in a meicher stam, yet it noted, so in we digress, then we mentioned something else that is also nogeya yet it not it, regardless. Veloyas charuv hamurkov, veloy sadan ha shikma. So if somebody sells a field, the trees are included. Mentioned that in the Mishnah, and it's clear from the whole Mishnah, because only certain trees that are not included. But ordinarily, we would assume that the trees are included. What's not included? So this thicket of reeds, something that's like really, really chashev, maybe that's not a tree. As it relates to a tree, it's the charev hamurkav. That's a carob tree that's been grafted. So I guess they used to graft carob trees at some point in its maturation. And the sadan hashikma. So the shikma is the sycamore tree that's not a basula. It's already a sadan, which by the way means, the basula means they didn't prune it yet. The sadan hashikma is when it was already cut, it was already pruned. So those trees are very chashev, they're not included in the sale. Says the Gemara Minani Mili, how do I know this? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, the Amar Kra, I learned it from a pasuk. So it's interesting. Most of the halachas in Berak HaMichas HaBayis are not learned out from Sukkim. But this halach is learned out from a pasuk. It says in the Torah, Vayokom, stay Ephraim, Asher B'Machpelo, Asher Lufnei Mamre, So the context, of course, is the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, where Ephraim sells And the pasuk says, "Vayokum stay Ephraim Hashem Machpelo." The kinyan was effectuated, and it says what was included in the field. Right, Avram didn't just buy the ma'ara; he bought the field. He bought stay Ephraim Hashem Machpelo. What he got was hasada, the field, the ma'ara asher boy, and he got the ma'ara as a ma'ara samachpelo that was inside the field. The chol ha'etz asher basada. He also got all the trees that were in the field. Asher bechol givuloi. Saviv says the Gemara, we learn from those last words, Asher b'chol gvuloi saviv, which certainly seemed to be superfluous, that mishet sarich l'gvul saviv. The only time trees are included in a sale is if they require a gvul, a boundary around them, so that people should know who the owner of the tree is. As opposed to these trees, the Sadan HaShikma and the Chorav HaMurkav, these are very Choshev trees. They don't need a boundary around it for people to know whose they are. And the reason is because everyone anyways knows whose they are, because it's a Milsa, the Tmiyah, these are Choshev things that everyone knows who they belong to. So it's from here we learn, says the Gemara, that these trees are going to be excluded. Incidentally, the Rashbam, it's a long Rashbam, it's good to see the Rashbam inside, we won't go through it together, but Ayin Sham, where the Rashbam says that, you know what else you see in this pasuk? You see that if somebody sells a field, the trees are included in the field. Because Vayokum stay Ephraim Hashem b'machpel. Avram Avinu bought the stada. And if you read the psukim in the Torah, it seems like he bought a sada stan. And afilu hachi, what did he get? Hasada. V'hamo'ara asher boy v'chol ha'etz asher v'asada. So Zokti Rashbam, this thing that we're making a big deal about, and by the way, I'm not a farmer. The only reason I'm making a big deal about this is because the Rashbam is making a big deal about this. It seems like this is a chiddush. He keeps on repeating it throughout the sugya. So this inyan that all the trees are included is part of the Minani Mili. That's also learned out from the pasuk. So Minani Mili, really, how do you know that the trees are included? And how do you know that these super chashev trees are not included? I know it from the pasuk, because Avram Avinu buys the sode that belongs to Ephraim. And what does he get? He gets v'chol ha'etz asher basada, but at the same time, only trees asher b'chol gvul ha'savav. They need a gvul for people to know who the trees are. Zaysay Meris, he gets all the trees, with the exception of the trees that are so chashev that they don't need a gvul around it because everyone knows who owns this tree anyway. You'll never have to pull out your title and your contract to say this is my tree because everyone knows it's your tree. Chaver chaver islay, v'chaver chaver chaver islay. All the yentas already clarified that. Everyone knows this tree belongs to Pliny. It's so chashev. It for sure belongs to that person. But the point is, I know both of these halachas from this pasuk. Says the Gemara, Masharishi said, I'll tell you another halacha I know from this pasuk. Mikan lemitzar menatayr. I also know from here that the mitzarim that we've seen so much about here in the last several weeks also are included in the sale. Meaning, if somebody buys a field, who gets the mitzar around the field? So the mitzar, we said, was a ditch sometimes, maybe it was like a heap of ground. Who gets the actual mitzar? Who is going to be the owner of that? And the answer is, the purchaser of the field gets the mitzar. And you know how you know that? So the way we darshan it, says the Rashbam, is that Avram Avinu got the sada, the ma'ara asher boy, v'chol eitz asher b'sada, and he also got the Gvul Safav. That's included in what he got. That is the Meitzah by definition, and that was included in the sale. We're going to get back to the sale of Ma'ar Samachpela in the raid, but for now we're going to finish the daf. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, if somebody sells property to his friend, he has to write the following. Knilach, I'm selling to you Diklin, Vitalin, Vahutzen, Vitzitzen. The Rashbam says these are all different types of palm trees. You have to include this language in the sale. Now, doesn't this seem counter to everything we just said? We made a huge deal about how all the trees are included. Amar Rav Yehuda, the Amir comes hundreds of years later, and he says, if you sell a field, you have to write that I'm selling this type of palm tree and that type of palm tree and this type of date tree and that type of date tree, right? Why do you have to write all this? So the Rav Yehuda explains, even though I know it's a Mishnah and it's learned out from a pasuk in the Torah, from Mara Samachpelo, that even if you don't write this language, it's going to be included. Afilu hachi shufra d'shtaru. Now, this is a very interesting concept, shufra d'shtaru, and it requires really raid. Not for now. But the basic concept, the way the Rashbam explains Shufra D'shtara, is that it's kedai to write it in. And the reason is because what happens if there's a lawsuit? So you want to have the language to be very, very clear. So do you have to write it? No. But at the same time, Shufra D'shtara sounds like just to make the shtar sound good, right? No, that's not what it is. It's something that does have a tayelis. And the tayelis is that in the event there's ever a lawsuit and you have to go dig up those documents like this, it's going to be very clear what exactly the ramifications of this sale was. What would be if somebody sold property to his friend, and he told him as follows: I'm selling you Ara Vidikli. So I'm sending you the property, plus I'm selling you the Dekalim. Now we said that the Dekalim are really included in the Ara, right? So if you say Ara Vidikli, it sounds like the Vidikli is coming to be Mois of something. So what's coming to be Mois of? If in addition to this field, he also owns the Dekalim, Yovei Trei Dikli. Tafasta mu tafasta, miut rabba mishnayim. He said dikli, which means at the very least two, you have to give him, in addition to the land, two dekalim. Eat less, let's say he doesn't have any additional dekalim. Well, guess what? Zavon leitre dikli. Go buy the dekalim, you moicher, and now give it to him, because that's what you sold him. Ve'im mishabdi, let's say he owns the dekalim, but they're meshuvid, they're tied up in a lien. Paraklay, then try to get the lien off. Meaning, if there's a lien because you owe somebody money, well, pay the chayiv. And like this, you'll free it up, and you'll be able to give it to the person that bought it from you. Arabidically, let's say a person tells his friend, I'm selling you not Arabidically, but Arabidically. So we're switching the Vav to a Beis. Completely different connotation. Then what we assume is it means an Ara, a field that has the column in it. So the halacha will be as follows. Chazina, I is Beidikli. If this Ara that he was selling had the column in it, Yavle. Well, that's what he sold him. The Ilav, let's say the Ara doesn't have any the column in it. You ready? Mekachtoisu. Then we assume it's Gorim Mekachtois. Because he sold him clearly Arabidically, and if there's no the column, so Mekachtois. Okay. Arabidically. What if it's not Arabidically? Not Arabidically, but Arabidically. That has a completely different connotation. You know what that means? That means I'm selling you property that has the potential to plant the column. Okay, so how does it play itself out? Then less leidikli, the chazi leidikli kamale. Then it doesn't matter if it doesn't have any dekalim, because what he's selling to him is a field that is chazi leidikli, and as long as it's chazi leidikli, so again, it doesn't owe him any additionally dekalim. Additionally, there doesn't have to be dekalim in the field. As long as it's chazi ledikli, that's going to be enough. Amalei lebar midik leplanya. What happens if somebody sells someone a field? Then he says, I'm selling you the whole field with the exception of that dekel. So again, ordinarily the trees are included. But he said, you see that dekel? That's included. So what does it sound like? Sounds like he's selling him all the dekalim with the exception of that one. Not so pashut chazinan. Idik letavahu. If that dekel is like a very special dekel, okay, shiur shire. Then he probably means what he said, and he said what he meant. Idik lebishahu. But let's say that dekel's not a good dekel. So he said, I'm not selling you a shvacha dekel. That's a ziburis dekel. Then kolshken hanach. Then for sure the good dekalim are not included. Meaning then none of the dekalim are going to be included. Amalei lebar mi'ilni. Let's say somebody sells somebody a field that he says, I'm selling you the field with the exception of the trees. I isle ilni lebar mi'ilni. Oh, if there's trees, the trees are not included. Pretty straightforward, right? He is leidikli. What if he has no ilonois? All he has is the kolim. Oh, so this is interesting. Because an ilon and a dekel are not the same thing. Again, they sort of sound the same to us, but they're not mamish the same thing, right? So he said lebar mi ilni. There's no ilonois, but he does have the kolim. So then what we assume is that he meant to exclude the kolim. And even though the column and ilni are usually not the same thing, but probably he's just talking loosely, he's not being so scientific. And when he said labar mi ilni, he meant labar mi dikli. Okay, what if he isle gufni, labar mi gufni? Let's say he doesn't have any the column, but all he has is gefanim. So again, a gefen is not a tree, but probably that's what he meant, because it's close enough, and as a result, that's probably going to be excluded. Ilni v'gufni, if he says labar mi ilni v'gufni, labar mi ilni, obviously he means to exclude ilni. If he said labar mi ilni, and he has ilni mi gufni, when he said ilni, he for sure meant ilni. Ilni v'dikli, labar mi ilni. If he has ilni and dikli, and he said I'm selling it to you labar mi ilni, what did he mean to exclude? He meant to exclude the ilni. If he said gufni v'dikni, okay, if he said labar mi ilni, and he has ilni v'gufni, this is one big tongue twister. If he said labar mi ilni, and he doesn't have any ilni, all he has is ilni v'gufni, then what we say is labar mi gufni. What he meant was to exclude the gufni between the two. That's the one that is going to be excluded. But the bottom line is that a technical daf, another technical daf, which for sure we would appreciate more if we were there. And we are going to exhale and end with one ha'ara. And that is, so the Gemara mentioned a whole bunch of different halachas. And most of these halachas, it seems, Chazal were mishayer. This is just the way it should be. With the exception of two. If somebody sells a field, all the trees in the field are included in the sale, with the exception of the carob tree that's been grafted, or the sycamore tree that was pruned. And the Gemara says, you know, I know that. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, I learned it from a pasuk. The Amakra, it says, Vayokom stay Ephraim, Asheba Machpelo, Ashelofne Mamre, Hasode Vamaoraboy, Vichol is Asheba Sode, Ashob Bechol Gabulay Safa. So Avraham Avinu buys the stay Ephraim, Asheba Machpelo. The purpose of it was because he wanted the Ma'ara that was inside, the Ma'ara Samachpelo. But the pasuk clearly says that he didn't only get the field, he didn't only get the Ma'ara, he also got all the trees in the field. With the exception, however, of trees that don't require a gvul around it for people to know who the owner of this tree is. Zoysaymeres, Hamoichers Asada Stam, all the trees are included. Additionally, Zoysaymeres, any tree that's super chashiv that everybody identifies, such as the Chruva Murkov and the Sadana Shikma, those trees are going to be excluded from the sale. So the Gemara just learned a halacha from the sale of Stei Ephraim, specifically from this pasuk, Vayokom Stei Ephraim Asheba Machpelo. By the way, the Gemara said, Amra Masharshi, another halacha that you learn from here is that if somebody sells a field, the buyer gets the mitzorim. That's a dindo iraisa, mikan le mitzorim min atayra. This is something that's included in the sale min atayra. So I think it's kedai to mention ha'or nefla that's also learned out from this pasuk, that's related to a Gemara that we learned together not so long ago, in the end of Perek Cheskas Abatim. And this Ha'ara, I found that three G'dayli Yoylam were mechavim to, literally verbatim. The Archaim HaKadosh, the Heilige Chasam Sofer, and HaGoyin HaGadol Ramei Simcha Medvins in the Sefer Meshechachma. So this is an Archaim, a Chasam Sofer, and a Meshechachma, Kulam Nischavnu L'Dover Echa. And that is as follows. If you look in the Pesukim, in the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, when Avram Avinu purchases the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, so the pasuk says as follows. It says, Vayokom stay Ephraim, this was the pasuk that we had in the daf, Asher b'machpelah, asher lefnei mamre, hasadeh v'ha'ma'ara asher boi, v'chol ha'etz asher basadeh, asher b'chol gevuloi sof. So what does it mean, Vayokom stay Ephraim? Vayokom literally means, and it stood up, fields don't stand up. People can stand up, animals, balichayim can stand up. What does it mean, vayokam stay Ephraim? So Rashi says, tkuma hoysaloi sheyotzim yad hedilach yad melech. Every child in cheder knows this Rashi, that what does it mean, vayokam stay Ephraim? It means that the field had a tkuma. It literally was like spiritually uplifted. It went from being in the possession of Ephraim, who was a hedil, who was a rasha, to being in the possession of Avraham Avinu, who was a tzaddik. So vayokam is metaphorically speaking. It didn't literally stand up. A betikuma hoysaloi. It got upgraded. It went from being on the balance sheet of Ephraim to the balance sheet of Avraham Avinu. But if you look at the Rishonim, they all say that the Pshutei Shal Mikra, of course, doesn't mean that. But Vayokam Stei Ephraim in Pshutei Shal Mikra means Vayokam Miloshen Niskayim. The Kinyan was effectuated. So Avraham Avinu was handling together with Ephraim, and finally they agree on a price. Avraham Avinu gives the money to Ephraim, and Zok the Pasuk, Vayokam Stei Ephraim Asher B'Machpelo Niskayim HaKinyan. Avraham Avinu acquired the land. Freik Dar Chaim HaKadosh, Freik Chasam Sofer, and Freik Ramei Simcha, that if you look four psukim later, the pasuk says again, Vayokam Hasade V'Hama'ar Asher Boi La'Avram La'Chuz Haskaver Me'es B'Neches. Why does the Torah have to chazer Vayokam Hasade the second time? Vayokam means Niskayim HaKinyan. So the Kinyan happened already. So three psukim later, Nochamol, and Vayokam Hasade V'Hama'ar Asher Boi La'Avram, it would seem to be repetitious. So the G'dayi Le'Achreinim said as follows. We learned the Gemara together on Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis and Cheskes Habatim. A very, very big chiddush. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Nichsei Oyved Kechavim Harehen Kemidbar. The Nechasim of an Oyved Kechavim are like a Midbar. Kol Amachzik Bohem Zocha Bohem. Any person that makes a Chazaka in the Nechasim of Oyved Kechavim is going to be Zocha. My time, what's the reason? Oyved Kechavim Michi Mati Zuzaliyade Yestalikle. As soon as he gets money, he's already out. Yisrael Ekani Adamati Shtar Liyade. Whereas the Yid is not Koino until he has the Shtar. Therefore, they like the midbar. And any person that comes and wants to make a chazak in it is going to acquire. What does this mean? So the way the Rashbam explained it is as follows. Oyved kechavim, all his kinyanim are davka bekasa. That's a rule. So any time an ovek kechavim buys and sells and transacts, the only kinyan that works is kinyan kasa. When it comes to a Yisrael, there's a whole list, a whole regime of kinyanim. Depending on what he's buying, refer to that particular list. But an ovek kechavim called kinyanoi is bekasa. Okay. Ovek kechavim, therefore, that sells a piece of property, as soon as he gets the money, from his standpoint, he's out. Because the mechira happened when he got the money with kinyan kasa. Stating that, a Yisrael that buys from an ovek kechavim can't buy bekasef. And although we know karkas niknas bekasef, kesef shtar v'chazaka, but the halacha is b'machon shekosvin shtar, kesef itself is not koina. Unless there's kesef in a shtar, or you make a chazaka. But kesef doesn't work b'machon shekosvin shtar. And the reason is because b'machon shekosvin shtar, we assume that the buyer is not comfortable with this transaction being consummated unless he has proof of the transaction. It's based on a lack of trust. Anytime a yid buys from an ovek kechavim, we assume it's k'makom shekosvin shtar dami, because he's afraid that the ovek kechavim, unless he has a shtar, is going to deny that this ever happened. Therefore, in order for the yid to be koina, you would have to have the shtar. It's for that reason, when an ovek kechavim sells to a Yisrael, after he receives the money, before the Yisrael either has a shtar or makes a chazaka, the land is considered to be a no man's land. And the reason is because from the standpoint of the Ovek Kechavim, he's out. Because as soon as he gets the Kesef, istalikly, it doesn't enter the Rishus of the Yid until he consummates his Kinyan. This is a massive Chiddush Alamdus. But this is the Gemara in Cheskes Abatim, Nundal Ramid Beis. So what happens is it's Hefker essentially. And therefore, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Nichsei Ovek Kechavim, Harei Hen Kemidbar, Kalamachzik Men Zocha. The Gemara brought other Amiram that paskin the same halacha. Rav Haigoyin in a sefer Mekach Umemker paskin this halacha. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchas Schir Matana paskin this halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch Chayshav Mishpat Simen Kuf Tzad Dalet also paskin this halacha. So this is a halacha psuka. If somebody buys something karka from an oved kechavim, so the way it works is as follows: is as soon as the guy gets the money, it's yotzim reshusai. It becomes hefker. It doesn't become the yid unless there's a kinyan shtar and there's a kinyan chazaka. The fact that he gave the money, and even though nechasim sheish ben machrayis on niknas bekesef, and even from the standpoint of the guy, the kesef makes it ois his, it doesn't matter. The transaction is not consummated unless you're going to have the additional kinyan as well. Said the G'dayli Achroinim, when Avram Avinu bought the field that had in it the ma'ara from Ephraim, it was a yid, Avram Avinu, buying from a guy. Now, the truth is, whether or not Avram Avinu had a din of Yisrael, didn't have a din of Yisrael, that's the Mishnah Melech's Chakira, in Drush Aleph, in Prashas Drachim, Vahadvarim Atikin. But if we go with the Tzad, that Avram Avinu had a yid, which is a very, very strong Tzad in the Rishonim, that means that this transaction was a transaction of a Yisrael that's buying from an Ovid Kechavim. When Yisrael buys from an Ovid Kechavim, so you need to do two things. Number one, you have to give money, because without money, it's not a Kinyan Mitzad the Ovid Kechavim. But in addition to that, it's not enough that you give money, because the money only makes it Hefker. It takes it out of the Rishus of the Akum. But it's not Nichnas L'chal Rishus Eishel Yisrael, unless there's a Shtar, unless there's also a Chazaka. In other words, the kinyan happens in two shlavin. It happens in two stages. The first stage is you give the money, now the akum is out. The second stage is either you write the shtar or you make the chazaka, then you become in. So said the Arachayim HaKadosh and the Heilig Chassam Sofer, Chassam Sofer Al HaTorah, and Ramei Simcha Meshech Achmo, that's what's going on over here. The pasuk says, Vayishma Avram al Ephraim. Vayishkoil Avram le Ephraim as a kesef asher diber ba'ozim becheis arba meyos shekel kesef over l'soich. Avram Avinu gave the money. What's the next pasuk? It was Niskayim Akinyan. What was Niskayim? The first half of the transaction. It left the Rishus of Ephraim. As soon as he got the money, now it's out. Now it's Hefker. But Avram Avinu doesn't own it yet. So what does the Pasuk say? Then Avram Avinu went and he buried Sarah. What happened when he buried Sarah? He was Balabus. It was Nal Gadu Uparat. Now you acted like the Bailam. You made a Chazok. You acted like a Chazok. chazaka. Now it enters the reshus of the yid. Now it was nishlam the kinyan. That's part two. Zok the Torah and sveitim of ayokam asad of amar ashaboy lavram. Now Avram Avinu owns it, and that's part two. So the kinyan happened in two phases. Where do you find such a thing that a kinyan happens in two phases? Every time Yisrael buys karka from an oiv kechavim, it's a gemara mefureshes. But the basra daf nun dalit on the base, and that's the vayokam the first time and the vayokam the second time. Just to be moisif, Rashi says that what does it mean vayokam stay Ephraim tkuma hoysaloi sheyotza miyad hedyet liyad melech, that vayokam metaphorically, because it got upgraded, it went from being in the reshus of Ephraim into the reshus of Avram Avinu. Yesh loymar that too happened in two phases. Meaning, the vayokam, the way the Achronim are explaining it from the halachic perspective, based on the Pshuta Yishol Mikro, the vayokam is the sky makinyan, I think worked equally as it relates to the drush. And that's based on Rei that we spoke about once in the name of Rabbi Shuab Yisrael Shlita, who said that we find a very, very big chiddush, right? Only a kohen's allowed to eat truma. A Yisrael can't eat truma. Stating that the avodim of a kohen, Evet Kanani, is allowed to eat truma. The wife of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Even the behemoth of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Why? Because it says in the Torah, kinyan kaspoy. And if you're kinyan kaspoy of a kohen, that's enough you to be able to eat truma. And if you think about it, it's a very big chiddush. A Yisrael can eat truma, but kinyan kaspoy of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. So Shuab said a very big yisoid, and it's really based on a goyen in his Pirush on Esther, and that is that you find kinyonei shel adam takes on the maila of that person. If you own something, in Pnimius, that you own is actually part and parcel of you. The Goyen says in the context of Haman or Rosha, who wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, Lahashmid, Laharag, Laabed, right? He wanted to destroy them completely. And the Goyen says that if you think about a person is made up of four components. He says a person has a nefesh, ruach, neshama, and guf. But he says that really nefesh and guf are one. So it's nefesh, ruach, neshama, and mamon. A person's possessions are part and parcel of the person. And he says the reason Haman said ushlolam levois is because he wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and wiping out Klal Yisrael to him, he understood, meant you have to destroy their possessions. Because they live on some level through their possessions. That's the pnimius of hashta behemten shal tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takol ha-yodam tzadikim atzmo lekoshkin. Why would the behemah of a tzadik have a shmira? The reason the behemah of a tzadik has a shmira is because the behemah has the milo of the tzadik. And that's why it has a shmira. But the point is, kinyan kaspe of a koyin has milo sakuhuna. And because it has milo sakuhuna, so therefore on some level it has kedushas kuhuna. If it has kedushas kuhuna, that's why it's able to eat truma. This in that Rashi says, "Vayokam stay Ephraim tkuma hoysoloi sheyotzam yad hediyach liad melech." It's not stam like some feel good thing. Tkuma hoysoloi in the pnimius of the field, it had a real tkuma because it went from being the possession of Ephraim to now being the possession of Avram Avinu. But the way the Archaim Hakadosh and the Hilgich Sam Soifer and Agoyin Agodar Meisim Chavdivins explained it, I think that also happened to Tushlavin, because the first vayokam was when it went from being in the possession of Ephraim to being hefker. From the field's perspective, that's a huge upgrade. Why? Because when it belonged to Ephraim, it has the reyeso, the chesroinois of Ephraim. Now that it's hefker, it actually was upgraded. Because it doesn't have that chesorin of Ephraim anymore. But the second vayokam was vayokam asod of Amora ashaboy le'avrom lachuzas kover. Now that it goes into the possession of Avram Avinu, it got upgraded again. Because now it went from being hefker to being Avram Avinu. So the vayokam that the achroinim were masber in the pshuta yishol mikra, I think works just as equally in the drush that Rashi brings. But just to end with one last ta'ara. And this is mamish a gewaldige ein beis medrash b'loy chiddush. A few times recently, we spoke about this idea that in the beginning of Parashas Chayesara, Avram Avinu wants to buy Stay Ephraim. But who is he negotiating with? Ephraim. But who else? The Bnei Ches. And it's the Rechaim HaKadosh's kasha. Why was Avram Avinu negotiating with the Bnei Ches? What role did the Bnei Ches play? Now we can surmise and we can guess, but at the end of the day, there's no clear indication from the psukim what role the Bnei Ches are playing, and why is it that if Avram Avinu wants to buy Ephraim's field, he has to jump through hoops and he has to negotiate with the Bnei Ches. So in the end of Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud, when we were learning the sugya of Dina de Bar Metzra, we mentioned what the Arachaim HaKadosh says, and that is that the Bnei Ches had Dina de Bar Metzra on the stay Ephron. They were neighbors of Ephron, and Avraham Avinu needed them to waive their bar mitzvah rights in order for him to be able to acquire the Maris HaMachpelah, which we said is very gishmak, because what's the source of Dina de bar mitzvah? The Gemara says, Vasisa Hayoshev HaTov B'ini Hashem, and Avraham Avinu, the others were considered Yesharim, and we brought out this idea that even though Avraham Avinu was having a very hard day, dealing with the B'nai Ches, he just came back from the Akedah, bearing his wife Sarah, B'nai Yoinis, Pirshan Ovis says, this is the tent of the Asar Nisyoinis, but he still acted and behaved like the ultimate Yosher, the way he handled, Ad Kedei Kach, he was Mekayim Devasisa, Yosher V'atoyv, with the Dina Debar Metzro. But anyway, that's what Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says. We spoke out at the time from the Brisker Rav, that Mor Nagriz said that the reason Avraham Avinu was handling with the B'nai Ches is not that he needed anything from the B'nai Ches, but he just wanted to make sure that they weren't going to Chepa, and that they weren't going to get in the way of what he was trying to accomplish. Sometimes you negotiate with people not because you want something from them. And the Rav said, that was the strategy of Avraham Avinu. He wanted to get them on his team, quote unquote. So like this, at the very least, they won't get in the way. When we learned Perek LaYachbar, we spoke out from Rav Shmuel Yankiv. Rav Shmuel Yankiv said that maybe the reason he was negotiating is based on a Mishnah LaYachbar. That the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to make a Beis HaKfaris too close to a Yishuv, too close to a city. Marchikin Beis HaKfaris, there's a certain distance. And Avraham Avinu was going to bury Sarah. So based on the din of Marchikin Beis HaKfaris, he had to negotiate with the B'nai Ches, so they will waive their rights. Like this, he'll be able to go ahead and he'll be able to bury Sarah there. Abayim Beis Medrash Boi Chiddush. I found on Shabbos that the Chassam Sofer in Teiras Moish in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara says a Dover Nifla. He says, you want to know why Avraham Avinu was handling with the B'nai Ches? He says, I'm going to tell you why. Because Avraham Avinu is about to buy Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron. Avraham Avinu is a Yid and Ephron is a guy. What happens? He's going to give him the money. The minute he gives him the money, the field's going to be Hefker. If the field is going to be Hefker, Kol HaKoydim Zocho. And he was worried that the B'nai Ches were going to make a Chapsim, and they were going to get it before him, and as a result, he was going to lose it. So he went and he negotiated with the B'nai Ches, and he says, I'm going to give you money. And you know why he's negotiating with them? He doesn't need anything from them. But he wants them to sign off and waive their right to be Mekayim Rav Yudom HaShmuz Memro in Bava Basran and Dalit on the base that so to get him to sign off on that, that's why he negotiated with the B'nai Ches. These two Chassam Sofers are not the same Chassam Sofer. The first one is a Chassam Sofer al Torah. This one's in Torah Smosha Ayin Sham. But either way, Mamish Dvarim Lefam. You learn this Gemara Bava Basra Nundalad on the base. It's such an obscure Gemara. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel Nichsei Oyve Kachavim Areim Kemidbar Kol Amachzik Behem Zochavim. At the time, we didn't have an opportunity to speak our raid, but such an obscure halacha. Turns out this obscure halacha brings the entire beginning of Parshas Chayisara so to life. A story that we've heard so many times. We have it in our Beina, the Maisa with the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. But if you want to understand it with more mature Eugen, the way the G'dayli Achroinim, the Frat in the Beis Medrash of the Chassam Sofer, but the way the G'dayli Achroinim understood it is very much based on this Gemara and Daf Nundalad on the base. And as we like to say, now you know the rest of the story.